Okay, so tonight we're going to learn from the Shvivei Lev, Rav Elie Lapian's Chiddush, that he brings really b'shem the Telza Rav. Before we're going to learn that, I want to learn with you a Gemara in Yevamos, very famous Gemara that is Nageya these days that we find ourselves in. Let's just find the Gemara in Yevamos. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. It's on Samach Beis Mabez in Yevamos, and it says that Nasa Adam Isha Bialdusai. This is from Rabbi Yeshua, a Braisa from Rabbi Yeshua. If a person marries a woman when he's young, and then she dies, so a lot of people will just stay single the rest of their life, but that's not the right thing to do. Yisa Isha Bizaknusai. He should get married again when he's older. Hayuloi banim bialdusa, he had children in his earlier part of life, and then he says, okay, listen, it's enough. I could stop. Yuloi banim bizaknusa. He should again have more children even when he gets older. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Babaker Zra Zarecho La Arav Al Tanach Yadecho. In the morning, you should plant your seeds, and at night, don't let your hands go to rest. Meaning, your whole life, you have to be busy your whole life. You have to have children throughout the course of your life, and you have to get married again. You shouldn't let the end of your life just coast into oblivion. Because you don't know which is going to be more successful. Sometimes people have a lot of children when they're young and nothing really becomes of those kids. And then they have another child later in life and that child becomes one of the Gedalim or is the ancestor of one of the Gedalim. What's an example of that? Anyone think of an example of somebody that had a child very late in life and from that child came out greatness? If you learn Megillas Rus, which is coming up, so Boaz, very old man, the last night of his life, he had many children. I think he had 30 boys and 30 girls, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says. And they all died. Nothing became of them. They never had children themselves. And Then he had on the last night of his life, he was with Rus, and then he died, and then she was pregnant from that night who did they have together, Salmon. Anyway, at the end, the last pasuk in Megillas Rus says about Salmon Hayledes. Nobody's gonna get it. Okay. Anyway, do you have one? Let's go. That'll work. Okay, so the very last pasuk in Megillas Rus says, what happened to that baby? Who was that baby? That baby was none other than Ve'ela told us, his name was Oved, okay? They named Oved. Ve'ela told us Peretz, this is going back from Yehuda. Peretz told us Chetzern, Chetzern told us Ram, Ram told us Aminadav, Aminadav told us Nachshon, Nachshon told us Salma, Salmon told us Bayez, Salmon was Bayez's father, Bayez told us Oved, that baby's name was Oved, but Oved told us Yishai. Oved was the father of Yishai. V'yishai ha'iladest David. That's the end of Megillas Rus. The last night of Boaz's life, he sired a child, and that child would be the grandfather of David HaMelech. All the other children that he had, all those other children, nothing came of them. But the last night of his life, that's when he was able to have the progenitor of David. So that speaks about the power of being able to be productive till the end of your life. and you don't know. Kencha, the Pasuk in Kehelet says that Kencha Yedei is a Yeshur. You don't know which one's going to be successful. V'im Shneim Kecha Tavim, or maybe they'll both be good. Rabbi Akiva says, Lamad Tayra B'Yaldusai, if you taught Tayra when you were young, Yilmaid Tayra Bizaknusa. You should keep teaching. Don't stop teaching. You should teach in your old age also. Hayla Tamidim Yaldus, yeah, Talmidim in your youth, you like Talmidim Zaknusa, Shinemer again, same pasuk, Begazarecha, etc. And then the Gemara leads into, this is Rabbi Akiva's memra, the importance of never stopping, of even if you had a lot of Talmidim when you're young, don't stop, continue, and never retire. Always, you know, be productive. And then the Gemara says, Shnayim Eser Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayilal Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, which is equal to 24,000. Migivas Adantifras, from two cities in Israel, from his, one's north, one's south. Vekulon Mesav Paragacha, they all died in one period of time. The period of time that we're in, between, we'll see in a second. Mipnei Shalei Nagu Kavod Zelazeh, because they weren't Naye Kavod one to the other. The Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, somehow they were on a very, very microscopic level that, you know, we wouldn't be able to discern. We think that they had the best midas in the world, but the Gemara, Chazal, see that there's something that was slightly off about the kavod that they showed one another. Vayaha Olam Shamem, and they all died. They all died, and the world was desolate of Tamil Chamim. What's going to be? The whole Dar, this was the future of Klal Yisrael. 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Tayr Shebal Peh. Rabbi Akiva, Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and you know, the Brises, and everything comes from Rabbi Akiva. So he was giving over to the next generation, Tayr Shebal Peh, and that whole generation died. So the world was Shamim, the world was like about to just be obsolete in terms of Tayra. And if the world is obsolete of Tayra, there's no world. At Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Sinai Shabbadarim. But Rabbi Akiva stuck to his own teaching. This teaching of Rabbi Akiva that we just learned, that Babaker is Ras Arecha, that when, even if you had Talmidim when you're young, don't stop. Continue to have more Talmidim. He did that. He did that himself. He wasn't just preaching. He actually practiced what he preached. So Rabbi Akiva went, Eitzar Rabbi Sinai Shabbadarim, after losing 24,000 Talmidim. He could have easily thrown his hands up and said, I quit, I'm retiring, I can't do this anymore, I just put my whole life into 24,000 students and they're gone. But he didn't do that. He went to the Rabbi Sinai Shabbadarim in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, Vishana Lahem, and he taught them. Who were these Talmidim? Rav Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Shamua. These were not stamping, these were the Gedali Yisrael, right? These were the next dar of Gedali Yisrael, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon. These were all off the chart, Talmid Chachamim, and Reb Elazar ben Shamua. Vehem heim hamidu Taira Eisa Shah. And it was they who reestablished Taira at this critical time in history when everything seemed to be lost. Rabbi Akiva went, he rolled up his sleeves, he had another five Talmidim, I think there's a Medrash that says it was seven Talmidim, and they were Maimit Taira Isa Shah. They reestablished Taira, they kept the torch of Taira going to future generations. And then the Gemara ends and says, Tana Kulam Mesim Pesach V'Atzeres. Which time of year did they die? They died in the period that we're in now, from Pesach until Shavuos. Why did they die Dafka now? I think the Marsha says that this is a great time of year, right? Weather-wise, you don't get nicer than this. Anyone took a walk outside today? Beautiful day. It's not too hot, not too cold. That's how it was in Eretz Yisrael also. And so if it was in the winter that they all died, people would say, you know, they probably caught a terrible flu, and that's why they died. If it was in the summer, it was too hot, maybe they died of malaria or something. So this is like the perfect, this is a sweet spot of the year between Pesach and Shavuot, nicest weather. And so everyone knew that there was something supernatural, that they died for something. There was a reason that they died, and the reason why they died was because they were not Naye Kaved Zelazah. That's the Gemara in Yevamos Samach Beis Amud Beis. That's very important to learn this time of year. Now that we have that as a background, then I'll explain to you why I learned this together with you. After we see the piece on Shvivei Lev, page Resh Samach Hei, on the top of the page. B'gemar B'ksuva Samach Beis Mesuper Hamaisa Rabbi Akiva. They tell over the story of Rabbi Akiva. Sheba la'acher shteim esrei shana im shneim eser elef talmidim. He came after 12 years together with 12,000 talmidim. B'shama me'acherei hadeles she'ishta emeres l'zakein echad, that his wife was saying, this is the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva was an Amoritz, and he was a very fine person. He just didn't learn. It never stuck. The Torah never stuck. And then eventually he decided to go back to yeshiva and learn. And he ended up marrying the best shidduch in the world, the worst for his father-in-law, because his father-in-law, his wife was the daughter of Kalba Savua. Kalba Savua was the richest man in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And he had a daughter by the name of Rachel. And everybody wanted to marry this girl. She was a very wealthy girl. And I'm sure she was a beautiful girl. And Alamilis. And this was, she could have gotten any guy that she wanted. The last person in the world that her father had envisioned her marrying was some shepherd that was in Amoritz that had no yichus. And his name was Akiva. No, it's not happening. And there's a Gemara Nedarim that says that he swore, he made a neder that I disown you. If you marry this person by the name of Akiva ben Yosef, you will not see a dime of all of my billions and billions of dollars. So I know what I would have done if I was her, but you know, Baruch Hashem, she was not like me. And she said, I don't care, Afal Pikein, I'm going to marry him. And she went and she married this Akiva. And he was, she saw something in him. She saw obviously that there was greatness in him. Beautiful story in the Gemara Nedarim, and I think it's the Gemara here also in Ksuvas, that they were so poor that they had to sleep on hay, like in some, I don't know, some silo maybe, and in the morning he would have to like pick the hairs out of her. They had no money, they had no mattresses, they had no beds. And he said to her that someday when I get wealthy, Mitzvah Hashem, I'm going to buy you a Yerushalayim de Dahava, like a golden Yerushalayim, like a tiara, I think it was, with an image of Yerushalayim on it. Anyway, she sent him off to yeshiva, and 12 years later, he was shtaigen for 12 years, he came back with 12,000 talmidim, and he's about to revisit her. He hasn't seen her in 12 long years. He was about to come into the tent, and he overhears a conversation. He stops in his tracks, and he says, and he hears that his wife is saying to a certain old person, who says like who is like berating her husband, like, "What are you married like a deadbeat husband? Like he leaves you 12 years, he never sees you, he never comes home, never sees how you're doing." And she said to this zaken, "Ilu ledidit sayis." If he would only listen to me, Tartre Yasiv Tartre Sreshni Achrini, he would stay in yeshiva another 12 years. I'm happy that he's in yeshiva 12 years. And if he would listen to my suggestion, she had no idea that he was right outside the door. She thought that he may or may not be coming home. He would stay for another 12 years in yeshiva and shteig. Amar, so Rabbi Akiva said to himself, Birshus ka vidna, obviously I have her full permission. V'halach la'achayrav, he made a U-turn. V'yashav oichtei mesrei shana, and he sat another 12 years in yeshiva, and then he came back, 24,000 talmidim, and then they were pushing her away, they didn't chap that she was his wife, and he said, stop pushing her away, shali v'shalachem, Shalahi, everything that's mine and everything that's yours is hers. It's all in hers chus because she agreed to let me learn all these years. Now, Bishal, so what's the kasha that everybody has on this Gemara? What?
Just go in and sit.
Go in. Your mom is right outside the door. You can't go in and have a cup of coffee with your wife. You can't say, how are you? How are the kids? Do we have kids? Like, there's no, you know, there's no, like, why? Why did he turn around? That's the obvious question, right? It's really, it's more famous from Chaim Shmulevitz. It says the same exact bar. But the Shvivei Lev quotes Reb Lezer Gordon. Reb Lezer Gordon was the Talzer Rav. And Lama Chazer Me'ala Acher, V'lai Nichnas Afilu Beisai, L'chala Pachas Al Yayim Echad, L'sha'achas, stay a day, stay an hour, do something. But why do you have to turn around without going in? What's that all about? And then you go back. The Heshem, and he answered, and this again, this is the same thing that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz more famously answered, Shem Haya Oisekach, Haya Hefsek Bein Yudbeis Shana HaKaidmim, Im Yudbeis Hashana Hashniim. There's something in learning which is called Ritzifus. Ritzifus means that there's a maila when you're learning Torah of learning it with a consistency. That you're not just, and this is true if you're learning it, like first Seder. It's not the same if you like go and learn 5 minutes and then you schmooze and then you 5 minutes and then you go take a coffee break and then another 20 minutes and then you go outside and check your phone. It's not. It's like a kettle that has to boil and you keep taking it off the fire every 2 minutes. It's not going to boil. In order to really get the maximum effect of learning, there's a maila of learning beritzifas, learning 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. That's the way Torah was really designed to be learned. And not only is there an inyan of ritzifas within a seder, within an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours of your learning, that it's much better if you could just have the stamina to keep learning because you're snowballing. The ruchnias is snowballing and it's accelerating. But the same thing is true in general with life. Rabbi Akiva understood that maybe in arithmetic, 12 plus 12 equals 24. But when it comes to Torah, 12 and 12 does not equal 24. 12 years and then taking a break in the middle and speaking to your wife, even though there's nothing wrong with speaking to your wife, that's a good thing. But it's not the same. Rabbi Akiva was not a regular person. Rabbi Akiva was like becoming like the Amud of Hayra in Klal Yisrael. He was becoming like the Moshe Rabbeinu of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu looked Baruch HaKadosh at Rabbi Akiva and he said, like, give the Torah to him. Like, I don't deserve it. There's a fascinating medrash there. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown like the future Darius of Klal Yisrael and he said, I you know, show me, like, say, and they put him in like a shir. It was Rabbi Akiva's shir. And it was so complicated that Moshe Rabbeinu, Kaviyachal, didn't understand the shir. And he was getting Chalish Zadas until Rabbi Akiva says that it's Halachal Moshe Misinai, he felt better. But it was, you know, Rabbi Akiva was a giant. But in order for Rabbi Akiva to really become the maximum Rabbi Akiva that he could be, he recognized that he had to do 24 years consecutively, Beritzifus, and 12, and then taking a little break, and then another 12 is not the same. That would somehow diminish the quality of his Torah learning. And that's the chiddush of this Gemara, that via cheshbon shalom b'yeshiva beis pamim yud beis shana b'efzeg yaymechad v'lechav dal shan reshiva would not be 24 consecutive years. The hamerchak shebein chav dal shana. The distance or the difference, the contrast between somebody learning 24 years straight versus 12 and then a break and then another 12, we wouldn't be able to tell. But in the, you know, Rabbi Akiva, he chopped that I would not be doing Klal Yisrael and myself or her a favor by going in. I have to turn around and try to get that Ritzifus. Have to get through Ritzifus. It's a beautiful Gemara. It's a very difficult Gemara, Alpha Pekin, to understand. There's definitely a lot of lessons for us to take from this Gemara in terms of our learning. We're going into a long summer, a 3-month summer, and it's very important
for all of us to have a Seder Kavua every day in learning. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself also. If we don't have that, then we're going to, all that we've gained this year, and I'm sure we've all gained a lot, it's all going to go, you know, it's going to almost go to waste, because you have to continue keeping that momentum going. I have many Talmidim that steig tremendously during the summer. They come back at the end of the summer and you see like the Kedusha on their face. And I've lost Talmidim over the summer and they have never come back. I could tell you horror stories about guys that, very solid boys, very good boys, like I would say some of the best boys that we had in Yeshiva. I'm going back many, many years. He basically, over the course of the summer, he was mamish the best boy in Yeshiva to my. He came to everything, and everything. He was just such a wonderful, amazing young man, and he had the best chavrus in Yeshiva, and he was a masman. And his parents told him that this summer we want you to work on Wall Street. His father was a financial guy. Want you to work on Wall Street. And at first he didn't want to. Anyway, he gave in, got a job in Wall Street. He fell into like a very bad chaver there. And, you know, and I was calling him. Like, I didn't hear from him. Rish Chodesh El came and he wasn't in yeshiva, which was very strange. He would be the first guy there. And then, like, I was calling him. My friends, my talmidim said, we're trying to get a hold of him. But whatever. Anyway, I bumped into a chasna. About 6 months later, he had hair down to here, totally not from. And I went over to him. I said, like, what happened? Like, you know, you didn't answer my calls. I've been trying to get a hold of you. He says, no, my parents told me to go to this. And in the summer, I got a bad chevra. I was in an apartment in the city. And this happened and that happened. Before you knew it, it was like, I said, but why don't you answer my call? He says, Rabbi, this is the way I am. I'm either in or I'm out. When I'm in, I'm totally in. When I'm out, I'm totally out. Like, I mean, it's mamasha, such a shame, such a waste. He was such an amazing guy. It's all because of a summer. It's a summer. It wasn't a year. It wasn't, you know, it was just a summer. And so in the summer, we have to, like, make chavrusas. We have to find something to learn and stick to it. If you're going to, you know, chazer what you learned this year or prepare for next year, that's great. If you want to do daf yomi or find mesechta or a couple of mesechta that you want to learn, a megillah, a tainus, a geshmaka, easy mesechta for the summer, beautiful. Mishnah Berurah, whatever you want to do, but just figure out what you want to do and make sure that there's a ritzifas to it. Make sure that there's something that every single day, har gal yavar, you're going to be learning. If it's an hour, if it's 5 hours, whatever you can handle, it's so important to utilize the summer and not squander it and not let a single day go by without learning, because it's going to break up everything that you accomplish. And one day is catastrophic, as you see from Rabbi Akiva. I just had one chiddush that I wanted to share with you that always like came to my mind whenever I'm learning either of these Gemaras. That notice that the Gemara in Yevamos, when it describes the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, what did it say? Remember what it said and how many Talmidim he had? It didn't say 24,000. We all say 24,000. It didn't say that. It said, Shtei Mesre Elef Zugais Talmidim Hayilu Rabbi Akiva. He had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. What is that? Why do you have to make us do math? Like, why can't you just say 24,000? And some say that it means that there are chavrusas. You know, that's how they always learn. They always learn chavrusas. There's 12,000 pairs of chavrusa, which is, it's a nice answer. But it always, like Libya, I don't know if there's any truth to what I'm saying, but there's something like a argush that I had, that the same Rabbi Akiva that teaches us that 12 and 12 don't equal 24, meaning that when you are able to take 12 and 12 and combine them very closely, that's much more than the sum of its parts. It's much more than just 24. So what Rabbi Akiva was maybe trying to always teach his Talmidim was that this lesson of time, that 12 years and 12 years separately is not the same as 24 years combined in one Ritzifas. The same thing is true in terms of learning with Chevra. That if you have a yeshiva of 12,000, of two pairs of 12,000, and they're not together, that's not the same as the tziruf, the chabura of having 24,000 talmidim together. And this was a lesson that Rabbi Akiva really wanted to impart to his talmidim, that we're not, that the 12,000 pairs of chavrusas have to be together. We have to like combine as one with an achdus and yeshiva. But the lesson was lost on them because they weren't Naya Kavad Zalazah. So there was like sort of like a period, there was like a line of separation that separated the two parts of the yeshiva, the 12,000, the other 12,000. And that's why we have the Avelos that we have today. So I think these are two important lessons. First of all, that in terms of our time, we have to learn every single day. Sometimes it's we're not in the mood to learn and we have other things to do, and we're maybe doing a summer job, we're in summer school, we're, I don't know, going on some trip or something. We don't, you know, it's not convenient for us to learn. It's still very, very important to learn every single day. That's one takeaway from tonight. And the other takeaway from tonight is that in terms of chevra, in terms of yeshiva, what we really have to try to accomplish, and this has always been like a goal of mine in yeshiva, and I think I'm not always successful at it, but is to try to create one whole body of yeshiva. And, you know, I've been to many yeshivas in my life. And the common denominator of a lot of the wonderful yeshivas that I was in is that there was a chevra in that yeshiva, whichever yeshiva it was, that stuck together, that knew each other, that cared about each other, that had tremendous achdus. And that's what, I look back on those yeshivas and I said, that's the yeshiva. That's what made that yeshiva great, that there was, the chevra was just very strong, very tight together. And in our yeshiva, it's more challenging, because it's not a high school that everybody comes and it's a melting pot. We're coming after Eretz Yisrael. So you have different high schools that you went to, and you have different experiences, and you have different yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And then there's the majors that you're taking, and then there's the chevra, and there's the minyanim now. I was very against this, the Sfaradi minyan yeshiva. Very against it. I felt that it was a big mistake. Maybe the yeshiva, I don't care if the main yeshiva is in the Sfarad. That's not against Sfarad. They can make the Ashkenaz minyan into Sfarad, but I don't think that we should have broken up the minyan and yeshiva. If one yeshiva, okay, yeah, we have a lot of svarim, but it doesn't mean that they have to have their own minyan. It's not, I don't think that's, we never had our, anyway, that's, it's something that I felt, I voiced my opinion, I was overruled, and that's fine. But I'm just telling you, in terms of hashkafa, you don't find that, I don't think, in other yeshivas, you know, the major yeshivas in the world. I don't think Lakewood has their own Sfaradi minyan. I don't think Panovich has their own Sfaradi minyan. I don't think Chaim Berlin. I know they don't have their own Sfaradi. We're one yeshiva. One yeshiva. You don't want to daven this as Sfaradi. Fine, so go to a shtibl and daven this as Sfaradi. But the yeshiva is one yeshiva. We're one yeshiva. Whether you're Ashkenaz or the Sfaradi, whether you went to that yeshiva or this yeshiva, there has to be a way of like breaking down the mechitzas. And being one, and on Shabbos, staying in yeshiva and making a kishmak in yeshiva. If we're all pulling the blanket away and we're trying to make it, you know, I'm just taking from yeshiva what I want, it's not a yeshiva. It's not a yeshiva. The way to really be a part of yeshiva is to push the blanket and to give everybody a part of what you're contributing and do things for the tzibur. Yeah, it's easier to go home every Shabbos and to stay asleep in your own bed and eat your mother's food. It's true. And you could do that once in a while. But this Ritzifas, you know, it's a Ritzifas to stay in yeshiva the longer in the many weeks. If you can stay, I guess we're talking now for next year, but if you could stay, you know, I've had talmidim that they came after Sukkot and they didn't come up for air until Pesach. They literally stayed in yeshiva the entire time, from Pesach to Sukkot. And they shteig. Today, those guys that did that, they're like superstar Tamid Chacham. They're like real Tamid Chacham today. They're so such a mechuyev, they're embarrassed to tell people that I'm their Rebbe. It's embarrassing. So, you know, and that's good. That's a good thing for me. But that's the way you should be doing it. We should be staying in yeshiva from off Shabbos to off Shabbos. And by doing so, you're accomplishing two things. You have ritzifus. You're not going home and then like being mushba from home and then coming back. And then, you know, you have to start your engines again and again and again. It's, you know, the hashpa is from home, whether it's the chevra that you have in your hometown or your family or, you know, I'm sure they're all wonderful people, but it's still mashpia on a person. So you're leaving on Thursday, coming back Monday, and then you're going back there. It's just, it's not, there's no ritzifus. It's not, it's never going to catch fire. And also, it's not good for the chevra. It's not good for the zugeis talmidim that we want to produce here. We want to have achdus in yeshiva. We want to be able to make it one yeshiva. And I'm planting seeds in your mind, hopefully. So when you come back, those of you that are coming back next zman, these are things you should consider. How you want to be more in yeshiva. You want to contribute more to yeshiva. You want to make a stronger chevra in yeshiva. And if we could do that, then we would really have like the number one yeshiva in the universe. And I mean that. It's a great yeshiva with everything going for us. We just need a little bit more of people selflessly giving of themselves, of their time, of their neshama to give to the yeshiva and make it the best yeshiva that it can be. And I know this can happen because we've had years and many years that we had like a chevra every Shabbos, you know, maybe 80, 90, 100 guys every single, not on the in Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos. They just wanted to stay. And they had, and they loved staying, and they loved yeshiva. And I'll tell you one story. I know I'm late. I came a little late, so I'm making up for it. That there was a guy who was engaged to his kala, a Talmud yeshiva. And he, you know, you have like the last, like the week before the chasna, you say, you know, the minig is, you know, you don't see your kala for the last week before you get married. So there's always like that last time that you're talking to her. It's like very, I guess it could be, you know, emotional or whatever. So this guy was like a real lander guy. He's like a real Talmud. And he was not going to be in yeshiva after he got married. I think they were going to Eretz Yisrael or something. So he said to her, says, I'm really going to miss it. She thought she was talking about her, you know, and she said, it's so sweet, you know, like, you're really going to miss me? He says, no, I said I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss Lander. I'm going to miss Lander. And I'm not saying that was great for Shalom Bayis, but my point is that's where we want the Talmidim to be. We want the Talmidim to love the yeshiva, to feel that there's something special here, that we're a wonderful space and we have a lot going on. Which other yeshiva in the world? Dr. Sokol really said it very eloquently the other night when he was honored. But like, you know, where else do you find this? Like, you have a great college and you're enveloped in an embrace of Torah, in a base medrash with Rabbeim, with Shalom Eishivs, and, you know, where else does such a thing exist in the universe? Like, you know, and so we should appreciate it. We shouldn't take it for granted. We should appreciate it, and we should give ourselves to it as much as possible. Not look at it like, okay, it's like a gas station. I'm using it to fill up my gas tank. I need to get into this graduate program, that school, and whatever this, and I need to get a diploma, so I'm going to use it, but I'm using it for me. That's, you could do that. I guess there's no law against that, but that's not really good for you. It's not really good for the yeshiva. You should want to like be here. Like, once you're here already, be here like with all your amachivar, with all your shasagidim, like make it your own. Make a geshmak for yourself here, make a geshmak for others, and try to do things organically, like, you know, from the grassroots, that you're creating more of a Shabbos, creating more of a yantiv. You're making the yeshiva a better place than it was before you came. And these are just ideas that I'm, you know, throwing out to you. So that when you come back in Mitzvah Shem, this isn't the last vat, I don't think, but like, just to think about over the summer, when you come back in Mitzvah Shem, to try to really give more of yourself to yeshiva and try to get a chevra together with you to also join in and to make the yeshiva the amazing place that it is.